If you don't like capitalism and you don't like state socialism, what do you want?
And there is a great deal of new construction of new institutions, new forms, new cooperatives, new worker-owned companies that's happening all over the country.
This is the Gar Alperovitz Podcast, a regular look at the ideas of historian and political economist Gar Alperovitz as he explores strategies to democratize wealth and empower workers and communities.
The book to write is, if you don't like capitalism, you don't like socialism, what do you want and how do we get there?
Right.
But
right.
It is that level of a question.
Right.
Not,
right. Yeah, and you know, it's funny, I was talking to, and you'd know him, I'm blanking on the name, at KPFK in Los Angeles. Pacifica Radio, and of course he wanted me to go towards revolution and communism, essentially, like all this stuff. And I said, look, all those words are charged for various people for various reasons, so I'll just use the word awakening. How about that? You know, I figured, how can I get to a word that isn't charged? Because that's the problem with socialism in particular.
Yeah. Although you've seen the poll data.
Yeah, it's changing, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly,
people,
which is...
People under 30.
Mm-hmm.
Who will be the creators of the new era.
Right, exactly.
Are slightly positive on socialism, probably because Fox News called
them
up.
I know, yeah, exactly. They're probably doing themselves in. They don't realize that That's encouraging to hear in terms of what you're getting from the ground.
It's interesting. It's not manifest. People look around the show, but actually people have that, and so we need to crystallize it somehow.
Right. Right.
But, you know, here's my next question, which is, in the Laura Flanders interview, you voluntarily opened up, it's not humanism, it's capitalism that has to go.
Right.
So, no, any reaction to that?
Not too much, but some. And again, I think I'm mostly getting it from you know, I'll say, I hate to use the word, like the little guy or something, or the guy on the ground, but the people that are saying, wow, somebody supposedly up the chain that far, one of the 1%, you know, which I always get a kick out of, just because they project so much of who I am based on my dad, you know, but that's natural, and I've used it, you know, obviously, it's how I got an op-ed in the New York Times, I'm sure, the little bit I've gotten is, again, positive and supportive, like, whoa, he actually said that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I never cared about Twitter until the op-ed, because I'm starting to really, you start to see, you know, what gets put back out and retweeted and all that. But it was, like I said in that interview, and I don't, when I reread the op-ed, I sort of like, I wonder why I wrote that exactly. It was so interesting that I said it this way, or I did this, or I put that in. And I really put that in, I think, and again, I sort of said this, but because I sort of wanted to call out the fact that I know I'm an uber capitalist son, you know, so, and if I'm talking systemically, clearly capitalism is playing this role in there.
Yeah, and but the word capitalism opens a door. It's
absolutely.
I mean, that's beyond humanism.
Yeah.
Did you do it purposely to, you know, just drop that into the discussion?
I did. I mean, again, I look back and I say I didn't realize in a way that I did this on purpose. I mean, I have to say, I am a musician first. It just comes out. And it's funny because I was really trying to think, how am I going to articulate that, you know, because this is, and also after the op-ed, I purposely did not start to go to the places where people wanted me to, in terms of, show up here and let's debate, show up here and let's try, you know, show up in these big venues and let's argue about what you mean. It's like, no, you know, because really I sit in a place, and this has been since I was a kid, where I am whatever artists tap into, and I'm not saying it's, I think we all have it, it's not unique to the artists, but it's been nurtured, and I was able to grow this capacity to have a feeling and somehow pull it in and translate it into, you know, it sounds new agey or whatever, but it's ultimately vibration, it's musical notes, it's a thing, it's not words, it's not, right? So when I write something, I'm doing my best to stay in that mode where I'm not gonna, if I overthink this, it's gonna be one more thing that's overthought. And instead I'm gonna just write it. And in fact, another paper responded it was Washington Post responded to put it out before the New York Times did, you know, within about a few days of each other, but Washington Post was first. But the questions they asked back to me were so not where I wanted the thing to land, so I could tell that their editing process and their thinking process was going to take it more in the direction of linear, give us examples of this, give us solutions, give us this. It's like, no. And when the New York Times came back, I could see that they were getting it, that I was wanting to keep it in a place of observation and feeling, and so to put in the capitalist, you know, I mean, it was just that one.
It was just one, quote unquote.
It's just like a little boop. And again, I look back and I thought, what caused me to do that? And I couldn't tell you other than now it's creating a deeper discussion.
It's a musical note.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was that. And then you see if it rings, right? Yeah. You see if it actually goes out there. Because that it also speaks to the systemic nature of it. I mean, that is the one sentence that very definitively said,
this is what we're talking about.
This is what we're talking about.
We're not talking right. You put it in a frame of, essentially a very humanist, philosophical, right. spiritual vision. But right. basically, right. no, this is when it comes down to earth, this
here's
is,
the mechanics. right.
You've got deal with this.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, it's really great. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things in terms of this knowledge of whether people are responding, I don't do much with media. I mean, I'm occasionally write about it, but I don't know much about media.
Right.
But, boy, the thing that I have discovered just going around the country, and particularly this last round, mm-hmm. is that there is a huge amount going on the ground.
Right.
A huge amount. And right. we've tracked that in our right. group and so forth.
Yeah.
But people don't know that.
Right, exactly.
People do not have the information.
Yeah.
So they see bleak mm-hmm. and they right. see dark. And when you begin to give them information on did you know they're doing this here and right. that there, yep. and simply information.
Right, yep.
The most common reaction I get from talks, which is mm-hmm. kind of weird, is there's some hope.
Right.
There's some hope.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Which people don't get from them.
Yeah.
But they get a stalemate, no, deadlock, getting, power. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're getting up the food chain of media, they're getting what's fed to them, you know, to the media people, obviously. I mean, we know that. And that's where the internet and technology is going to be our friend, because suddenly you can start to find like-mindedness, you know, there one guy is saying, find the others, you know, and that's really what it's, I mean, that's what the church probably provided that for generations when, certainly when this country was founded, where's community? Well, it's when you come together and realize, oh, you're a farmer too, you know, which of course 90% of us were, which I think is part of the issue too, is that everybody basically understood each other 200 years ago because they were all doing the same thing for the most part. And now, you're right, we have all these little individual, you know, the nuclear family, that idea is a myth. I mean, we could go in so many directions in terms of how we got here, but that's part of what we feel is important to us at the foundation. And again, maybe the most important thing is giving people the knowledge that other people are there too.
Yeah.
And again, that alone gives them hope.
Knowledge, information, and also some perspective on how to move forward.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Some perspective on.
Well, and it's like, you know, again, it's a trailblazer. I think of, what we do is you know, find the Lewis and Clark that went a little further than the next person that came back and said it's actually okay. We can take this. Mm-hmm. That's a bad analogy because of all that happened because of them. But finding like-minded people that maybe have taken one step further than you have, and then you feel safety, then of taking that step.
Yeah, it might be possible. There may be ways forward.
Yeah.
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 You know, I just want to go back to one other theme because I want to pursue this part because that's the part. You know, half of our time is on the ground stuff and how do you democratize ownership of wealth,
right.
community
right.
building strategies.
Right. Yep.
And the other part is, If you don't like capitalism, you don't like socialism, what do you want? And actually, how do we look at it? What's the path? How do we get it?
Right, right, and right.
My language on this is, I'm from Racine, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know. Kevin just texted me because I had emailed something about how I hadn't gotten back to him, and it's because of my Midwestern roots that I feel like I have to right away, and I feel bad.
I do that too. I can't stand it if I don't get back.
God, yeah. So, Racine.
Well, yes. Racine, and my first test, and I have a very good not a high school friend, I have a friend who I go back to see occasionally, who I started kindergarten with.
Oh my God.
And he's extremely conservative,
right?
Very religious, and really smart.
Yep. Super really important to keep those friends, right? Because you see, you get
And really smart.
Yeah.
And last time I saw him, and I talked to him about this, and I said, his name is Tony, he's an Italian guy. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you know, what about Russ Feingold? And he said, about this progressive thing. He said, well, you know, I voted for Russ. I said, what? he said, well, he's a man of integrity, and I believe that's important.
Wow.
So, interesting.
Right. You get past a lot. I mean, that's where my dad rings so true. People see the authenticity, the integrity, and it seems to, you know, I want to believe that works. As a Midwesterner, I want to believe that.
And also, if it doesn't work, we're in real trouble.
Yeah,
absolutely. If you don't have a way to speak to people who are ordinary Americans like the guys that I grew up with, you're not in the game.
Right,
That's a different game.
Yep.
I mean,
and this is my experience with the American Indian culture, is, you know, at first, because I did this huge show, and here I am, this white guy that, you know, what's that about? And yet I found that every Indian person or community I walked into, I was greeted with open arms, and I absolutely believe it's because of the integrity. You know, I wasn't some guy saying, "Oh, gee, I wish I was Native American." Oh, I'm going to romanticize this or that. They just felt it, and I think people can. And
That's absolutely true. Yeah. We've been working. Do you know the Northwest Areas Foundation?
Oh yeah, sure.
Because we've been working with them. Doing action training labs with six different tribes on how to change ownership patterns and worker ownership and so forth.
Wow. Yeah.
But you know, that's the same thing's happened.
Yeah.
In the group that I haven't been out there, but the same thing happens.
Yeah.
It's people sharing and it's a different relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And if if you're meeting somebody in integrity, of course, if they're out of integrity, then you got, you know, but generally, if you're out there, people respond to it. And that's a great example.
Yeah, it is. It's really
Tony
interesting.
And Russ Feingold.
Right. Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's really good.
It's just really perfect. And,
and
it comes, he's an ardent Catholic.
Right.
And it comes from some integrity, deep integrity. Yeah. Really. So
I will just tell you briefly, we met with Russ years ago when he was in office, and I sent him something as a thank you, like an album or something, just to know what I did. Because I lived in Milwaukee for 15 years. Yeah, my wife is from Milwaukee. Yeah, so.
All right. I mean, we always call that our northern suburb.
Right, yeah, exactly. Russ sent the gift back. He said, I can't take gifts from my constituency, essentially.
That's right, that's interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
So let me ask you one more question about this, because I can't resist. How much of this... as a kid from Racine, asking a kid from Omaha.
Right, yeah.
How much of the spirit of it comes really out of local Midwestern experience? How do you
that's,
with that?
Well, in some senses, all of it, but I'd still go to my parents as the ultimate source of it, right? But that's because they grew up in the Midwest. So it's like there's some fundamental... geographical DNA that plays a role in the literal DNA. I think I'm sixth, I might be seventh generation Omaha. So my great great whatever came in the 1860s and started a grocery store in 1869 that was there for 100 years. And that was the family business, was the grocery store. My great grandfather's, I joke about this, his name was Ernest and his brother's name was Frank, right? So Frank and Ernest. I mean, you can't care.
Right.
And their sister's name was Grace, actually. So they like completely. But talk about a work ethic. I mean, a grocery store is only, I guess, second to farming in terms of its your dedication to community and feeding people and, you know, getting up early and doing all the things. And my mother lived two blocks from where she grew up, where I was born. So in other words, I would go see my grandparents all the time. You know, right. They were two blocks away, and I had the same English teacher my mother had in high school, and it just goes on in terms of the community. So that's essentially can happen anywhere, but it feels very Midwestern in the rootedness. But specifically, my parents both came from deeply religious and Republican parents, and are both. My mom passed away in 2004, but we're both Democrats, totally into everything that would create a social system that allowed for fairness and agency and all these things. So they somehow were the aberrations in their family and our house, me growing up, born in 58, you know, growing up in the midst of a potential shift, which didn't quite, but it was very much alive in our house, certainly, and in the community that I ended up growing up in because of who my parents were. So, yeah, it's both literally and figuratively, it sort of is that Midwestern. Yeah.
And small enough, yeah. So you could have that feeling of community.
Definitely, that's my kind of
symbol of that is, aside from the fact that it's small, about 80,000 and smaller.
Much smaller.
But still, the town, and I'll probably romanticize this a little bit.
Why not? You can do that.
Looking back,
right.
Let me tell you how it was.
Yep.
But still is, the truth of it is, the zoo didn't have an elephant.
Right.
And they wanted an elephant,
right?
Which is a whole other question.
Right. Well, yeah, of course, exactly.
So they put up a kind of paper mache elephant with a slot in it. People would drop their pennies in.
Right.
And they got an elephant.
Oh my God!
You know, the community stuff.
Yep.
They
exactly.
could actually count on that.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. Right. I mean, people were connected, and that speaks to, again, when you go out on the road and hear that what people are looking for and wondering about is, does anybody else feel like I do?
Yeah. And I have this image, and I remember reading this story in, I don't know, some magazine, or maybe it was the Washington Post. Right. It was about where they're training young firemen. Mm-hmm. And young firemen have to learn to go into the fire.
Ah, right.
And they come out the other end.
Right.
And they come out the other end as a fireman.
Right.
Once they've done it.
Right.
What I hear you doing is embracing Warren Buffett's son.
Yeah, absolutely.
And coming out the other end.
That's exactly right.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
And it's so
interesting. Was there hesitation and then?
No, and I'll tell you why. Thank God for my parents. And my nature, I guess, too. It was, you know, it takes both. But, you know, we grew up not having any idea what my dad did. You know, we grew up in the same
house. Really didn't know.
I mean, to the point where my sister in grade school, when you put in father's occupation, she put security analyst because she knew
something
that was a
like
term,
that.
Right? Everybody thought he checked alarm systems. I mean, we did not know. And you know, he'd read the paper every night in the same place and the stock market stuff. And so I, you know, look at this stuff. But no clue. He'd be going through S&P 500 and Moody's Industrial, you know, all these huge books and stuff. And honestly, you know, we rented the same house in Laguna Beach in the summer for 10 years, and then they finally bought a house. So we had a second home when I was about 13 or 14. So that was a big deal. But this was a $120,000 house on the beach. It was not a $4 million or whatever it might be. And so there were little things that were a little different, but nothing that was wildly different than anybody in the neighborhood. So again, we didn't have any sense of that. And when I was in my 20s, in the 80s, was when he showed up on some richest person list It might have been when Forbes started doing it. I don't remember when they started. And a few things, and my mom and I were on the phone laughing, saying, wow, now everybody else is going to look at us differently, even though we know we're the same, right? Yeah. And it happened somewhat, but being in Milwaukee and being a musician, it was actually not a thing, because my friends were painters and, you know, house painters and musicians, and, you know, and so we never got a ton of feedback around it that would cause us to, you know, and again, we lived in a $180,000 house in Milwaukee. This was not...
Right. Been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I don't throw that out. I mean, no, that's just, you know, it's just to put things in
perspective. That's hometown for me.
Yeah. And so when we moved to New York, when Jennifer and I moved here in 2005, I called my dad. I said, this is weird. This is the first time I felt like the name is doing things to people, you know. My wife would call it the funhouse mirror, you know, and he hadn't thought of it. You know, my dad goes, oh yeah, this is kind of like you're a Rockefeller or something in New York. I mean, none of us think that way, right. and he hadn't either. And
is that he didn't know who he was in that respect?
No, I mean, he now, you know, it's been the past decade or so that he's really been way more public. And so now, of course, you walk down the street and people are all that kind of stuff. Right. But and he deserves it. I mean, he's worked his tail off for years and years and years. But no, it was never a factor. So when it started to become one, I was already fully formed, essentially, you know, or certainly enough formed, because I'll never be fully formed, enough to go, okay, it's a tool. How am I going to use this thing? Yeah. And it's worth using. It's stupid to run away from it, because that's also giving it energy. Again, it's like reform. It's
you
like,
bet.
why live in anything other than a positive relationship? So it gets back to, how do I work with this?
Yeah, and, it's fantastic.
So it's been spectacular. And I'm just trying to now, I mean, I was just saying to somebody else, my life is going to be pre and post op-ed, because that opened up so many things, and I want to be careful with.
But not only careful, but I mean, I was wondering, one of the questions I had is, you know, you want that public, that's a whole different public life.
Right, yeah.
It's not only music. It's,
no, exactly. Yeah. And that's okay. And then the foundation, of course, because it has enough assets to actually, you know, shift things potentially.
Some of us have noticed.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's like, what do we do with that? And how do we behave? Knowing, from the minute we got the money, that our behavior is as important as the money, you know? I mean, because in fact, they're reflective of each other. And so luckily, Jennifer and I, we've been together 22 years, something like that. And we have worked through our personal relationship stuff. And, you know, I did dumb things my parents did, and then all the stuff.
Yes, I do know.
Exactly. You learn, and the fact that we've not, you know, worked through it, however you want to say it, we are learning so much about being in relationship to each other that can only, again, be reflected out into the larger world, because we're rooted, you know, individually and together. And what I've learned ultimately is the whole be the change thing is way more complicated than people think. You know, people think it's do the change you want to see in the world.
Be is harder,
but you get so much back for doing it. You know, I mean, if you can take those steps to go, okay, I'm going to live this from the inside out, which is what we, again, I don't want to use the word work, because it's not work, you know, it's this wonderful place of discovery, and like, okay, you know, and that's why being on the farm, our farmer is like our kid in the best sense of the world. I mean, not a kid, but someone we want to nurture and help grow and learn from, and all those things that kids can be. And again, so to literally grow.
It literally grounds you.
Yeah, it literally grounds you. I am literally barefoot almost all the time, and that's no joke. I mean, I'm convinced that being in nature, eating food from the land you live on, drinking water from the land you live on, you know, all these things are things that we've experienced for millennia, you know, and have only been separated from, again, most of us for 150 years, yeah. even, you know, not even. It's essential to for so whatever the next thing is, I think it has to have that as a component of it. Deep yeah. local.
You're bringing back, you know, I was just thinking about it the other day, talking to my wife, who were in her 41st year now.
All right, there you go.
I know what you're talking about.
All right, you know. Exactly.
But I went to high school, and I just thought about it, just by the by, but I think right. stimulated yeah. by what you said.
Yeah.
I went to William Horlick High School in Racine, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And it is, my friends were actually farm kids.
Right.
And yeah. blue collar, yeah. and the doctor's daughter.
Right.
And the
right.
lawyer's daughter. Yep. But it was actually not private school. It was, just, it was, right. it
exactly.
was,
yep.
and I could often, you could walk from our house, and those, I don't think you can anymore, I think it's spread. You could walk easily in 5 minutes to the farms and get fresh wow. corn.
Right.
Yep. I mean, I think it's gone yep. now in Racine. Yep. I think yep. it's changed. But,
yep.
but it was, and that's that we had that possibility even right. in a primitive way
yep. it? Exactly
of meeting people different
yeah well and of course public education is a huge part of that yep. which I my education was public from all the way through yep. kindergarten through high school and you're right you meet everybody there
yeah and you just got yeah. to, and it's not a, but it isn't a question
no yeah
it's not a question
exactly.
it's,
yeah
it's just
it's,
the way
it's
it
community
is.
Yeah,
yeah it's just the way it yeah. is and yeah. you know and I you know just I don't know why it struck me that I did just think about some of these kids who I grew up with,
right.
but that it was really different from a, yeah. from what yeah. I see in a lot of... Lot of
absolutely, yeah. And I was going to say something about another piece of that around community, but it is... Well, it's just, you know, our grandparents didn't call it organic food, right? I mean, it's that kind of a thing, too. It's like everywhere you look...
you didn't need that
You
word.
Don't have to go back very far to say, wait a minute, yeah. you know? And that's encouraging. I think that's yeah. really encouraging.
And corn was... You, when you had... Corn, you had it just off the field, so the sweet right. corn.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's the thing, the corn now that we eat, the tomato, everything,
yeah, it's different.
You don't have to touch them.
Yeah.
You know, forget butter and salt. You just, you can't even believe what you're eating. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So one of the things, I'm going to, I'll go on, you just cut me off.
Yeah, and I just have to check the time to see I'm getting, I have multiple texts from Shannon who's downstairs. I just have to check. Okay. Yeah, it looks like 4 o'clock is when I have to
where are we at?
And that's just I have to be and it's 3:20.
Oh, we got the time.
Right, so okay. Well, yeah,
good. Yeah. Well, I wanted to open up this I mean one of the things that first I want to mention a book to you which you probably have read, but not a lot of people haven't. One is I read Martin Buber. People know the I Thou book.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I have not read that, no.
I Thou is you know, you'll like I Thou.
Yeah. yeah.
Which is about what we're, but the book that's interesting, which people don't read, is called Pathways in Utopia.
Oh.
And it's yeah. it goes through the different theories of how to, but it's very short.
Right.
And he ends right. up with something like the Israeli kibbutz, but you can drop that piece.
Right.
But it was
right.
trying to get beyond straight capitalism, state socialism. How do we get beyond that?
Right. Right.
And it's a quick
yeah,
read.
I would love to.
You might
yeah.
like that, and you like. Yeah. Well, you like both of that. I
yeah.
thought, which
let me
is,
write down. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. And he was a you know very odd, interesting Jewish theologian, but he was an author and anthropologist. So you get.
Yeah, more, which I see. I love, and that's why you're. The combination of where you come from is I think so important. Is you have to understand. I mean, the spirit show that I did, the American Indian show, was you can't know where you're going unless you know where you came from. You know, that was the fundamental
yeah.
guiding principle of that. And it's true. And that's why, again, I look at looking backward at common sense, and you see these cycles. And then you also can look at the 60s and go, okay, what worked and what didn't? And even Occupy. You know, the fact that Occupy introduced the concept of the 1%, that's all it had to do. You know,
yeah, like, it's, and it's done actually some interesting.
Right. That's
yeah,
it.
But it's
yeah.
really one of the things people think Occupy die.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And
that's not
true.
No, of course not. Yeah.
One of the things, and I discovered this again over the last year, and it was about I kept running into it on the mm-hmm. on the book tour.
Right.
People who had never met each other.
Right.
And who had not acted on their politics, on their intuition or
right.
gut feeling.
Right. Right.
Met people who are doing, who were like themselves.
Right, right.
And many afterwards, and who were acting, not
right.
just.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Many afterwards, two or three people who didn't know each other, who right. hadn't this idea of what you, turn out to be people doing things in places, yeah. and Occupy crystallized that.
Right. Yeah.
In,
yeah.
And I don't know how far exactly. it extends, but I've right. ran into it right. very often.
Yeah, and that gets back to, again, the needing to knit together.
Yeah.
And it's happening. I mean, I think Kevin and Margaret launched their site in the first month that had, you know, quite a few people visiting. And that tells you that
there's something going on. There's something going on. In the room.
And I love that the most searched words in Merriam-Webster's dictionary
like
for socials So, and those are the things we can measure now. I mean, that's the technology part will be extremely valuable in terms of saying this is undeniable and here's why.
That's right. And making that manifest that people sharing it, right. oh, this is a different time in history. Right. This is really the moment. And the other thing that's interesting, people are beginning to put a frame on, all right, it's the next two or three, the next 3 decades count.
Right, exactly.
And that it's going to be movement building and project building and idea building, but that it's not in, that this is a period that really counts. I think of it as the prehistory of the next great shift.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, the National People's Action,
a little bit.
They're talking about a 40-year thing.
Right.
Bali, who we both work with, is talking about one generation of work. Margaret and Kevin are talking about a movement that.
Right.
But giving people sense, well, you know, the progressive era took this long to even get rolling, and that's what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
The way I sometimes put it, and it drives people crazy, but I say, well, you want to play this game? The chips are a few decades of your life.
Right.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
No, I tell staff here, I say, you know, we'll probably be dead when the things we're working on actually come to fruition. Yeah. That's okay. You know, we're not looking to see, I mean, we want to see indicators. We want to hope that things are going, but don't count on, you know, being at the party. Because it may not happen.
Thanks for listening to the Gar Alperovitz podcast. To find articles, interviews, audio, video, and more, go to www.americabeyondcapitalism.com.